Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, you ever visit a witch doctor?
Did I ever visit witch doctor?
No, a witch doctor. You know, spells?
Witch doctor spells. I assume they all can spell. They write prescriptions for me and stuff, Jim.
Never mind. All right, day three of novelty songs. And I'm here with Chris Wadsworth. Thanks for joining us,
of course,
Chris.
My pleasure.
For filling in for Patrick. Patrick Foster is out. He's dealing with some stuff with his daughter in college, and there was like a big hurricane down there, so he had to go down and to North Carolina and get her reset up, I think. But I'm sure all is well. And while he's out, we've decided to talk about novelty songs here. It's a good time of year to do that. And go back and listen to the last couple of days. You'll hear some of our other picks. But today, we have one here that's, you know, kind of sort of related to Halloween. The other one, not so much, unless you consider the sense of, like, you know, men dressing up in tights to be Halloween. We'll get to that in a minute. But why don't you kick us off here today, Chris, with your pick of a novelty song?
Well, the song I picked is one that I don't think I heard necessarily as a kid, but I heard it as I got older, and I just found the whole history around it really fascinating. It's the song Witch Doctor by David Seville, which was actually just a nom de plume, a stage name for Ross Bagdasarian. That's the guy behind Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah. David Seville, easier to pronounce.
David Seville, easier to pronounce. The Bagdasarian, I think it's an Armenian name, if okay. I remember. And yeah, so it's a fun song and really kind of feels like one of those late 1950s songs. It just feels like the moment.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that... I told the witch doctor you didn't love me true. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me nice. And then the witch doctor he gave me this advice. He said that ooh ee ooh ah ah ting tang wa la la bing bang. Ooh ee ooh ah ah ting tang wa la la bing bang. Ooh ee ooh ah ah ting tang wa la la bing bang. Ooh ee ooh ah ah ting tang wa la la bing bang. You've been keeping love from me just like you were a miser, and I'll admit I wasn't very smart. So I went out and found myself a guy that's so much wiser, and he taught me the way to win your heart. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend, the witch doctor, he taught me what to do.
All right.
It's like that hamster song, that hamster dance song.
Oh, yeah, remember
just,
that?
Yeah, it's just like one of those things that just, an earworm, it just gets into your head.
I forgot about that. The early days of the internet.
I know, I love the hamster dance.
Yeah. Okay, so that's David Seville, who went on to do Alvin and the Chipmunks stuff, right?
He, you know, it's actually interesting that, if I understand it correctly, that was the first time that he ever used that method. That's his own voice. That chipmunk is
okay.
David Seville / Ross Bagdasarian. That's him speeding up his voice to double time. So he sang the song and then also did kind of the background vocals. And that speeded up song is what he turned around. And later that same year, it was 1958, he turned that into the first Alvin and Chipmunk song.
Right,
using that sped up,
and you can hear that because it sounds just like
it does
Alvin or Simon or Theodore
exactly.
or whatever.
And because of that, a lot of people actually are when they hear the song, they think it's one of the Chipmunk songs. Okay. And indeed, a couple of years later, they re-recorded the song as an Alvin and the Chipmunk song. So there's been a lot of confusion, but this particular the first version of it was not considered a Chipmunk song. And he actually did another song in there too. I can't remember what the name of it was now. Something like "The Bird on My Head." I think that was
okay.
It. He did another one where he used the same speed up method before he settled into the Alvin and Chipmunks routine.
Okay, got it. So, yeah, so this was late 50s, right? Is that what you said?
58. It actually came out on April 1st, 1958, according to our friend Wikipedia, which I thought was kind of clever.
Very
that
nice.
A novelty song would be released on April Fool's Day.
And it was a big hit, right?
It was. I think it went to number one. And I'm looking for my notes here. Number one, 3 weeks on the Billboard Top 100.
Yeah.
Top 100, not Hot 100, because at that time it was still known as the top
100. Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. And it was number one for several weeks.
So again, you know, kind of like we were talking about how the 50s, late 50s, early 60s had like different dance crazes and songs named for dances. They also were big on kind of like nonsense songs, things like that. I mean, if you think of like Tutti Frutti and, and you know, those kinds of things.
Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Right. So that might have been 60s. Yeah. But,
so the whole like you know what I mean? It's just people really, for whatever reason, liked that kind of stuff or thought that was fun. You know? And also you got to remember too that in that time, rock and roll was considered kids' music anyway, you know, for teenagers for the most part. It was not considered something that was a serious art form. So this kind of stuff just played that up.
Right. You know? Some grouchy dad probably couldn't tell the difference between Buddy Holly and that. It all was the same.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's great. You know, it's fun. It's funny. And is the idea behind it that witch doctor's telling him if you say this phrase that she'll fall in love with you? Is that what's happening?
It's a guy who's having trouble winning over his girl, and so he goes to the witch doctor for help, and the witch doctor basically says that phrasing will win her heart for him. Yeah, that's it. So it's not a complicated song. It's not it's not, I'm not sure if there's any deeper themes in there. I'm not aware of them if there are.
All right, very good.
And that song, do you know, it's interesting, that song has been sampled over and over. Do you know it's been on The Simpsons? It's been on The A-Team?
No.
It's been on The Muppet Show, the Rugrats movie, which is more our kids than us. But yeah, it's appeared in multiple different forms in media throughout the years. It's really interesting how it's continued to live all the way through today. It didn't just come and disappear.
As soon as you said it, I like it immediately remembered the song.
Yeah.
And I didn't grow up at that time period. So,
right, exactly.
So I knew it right away.
Right.
So there's something about it. I mean, you know, I get it. It's a very memorable song, but it's definitely held up. And I think, again, I think, well, I'm looking at it right here. You can see on Spotify that it's on one of the albums that you can find it on is called Ultimate Kids Halloween. So it's like, it also does come up, I think, at Halloween time.
Kids are still going to like it. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think that Bagdasarian, the real name of the guy who was singing it, you know, they think that's all he did was those Elvin and the Chipmunk stuff. And he was a prolific songwriter. He wrote Come On to My House, you know, Rosemary Clooney's song. Mm-hmm. He was the one writer behind that. He appeared, believe it or not, he was in Hitchcock's Rear Window. He was one of the guys across the courtyard that Jimmy Stewart was staring at out his window. Yeah. I don't think he had any lines, but he was one of the guys, you know, over there playing a piano in one of the windows across the way. So he pops up in all sorts of unusual places, not just Elvin and the Chipmunks.
Huh. Well, there you go. That's another sort of Halloween connection.
That's
Rear Window, Hitchcock, right?
Yep, yep.
Although Elvin and the Chipmunks best known for Christmas music, that song.
I don't need to hear that song anymore.
No. Let's move on. Okay. So I saved for this episode the weirdest of the novelty songs I wanted to play. It's a song, I can't remember exactly when I discovered it. It came out in 1975, but I know I didn't listen to it back then. I think there's a roundabout way I became familiar with this song, but let me play a little bit of it first, and then we can discuss.
I'm so intrigued.
Back when I was a kid, life was going swell. Till something happened, blew everything to hell. That night my daddy stumbled in, all pale and weak. Set a woman up the block, just gave birth to a geek. Mom said, sell it to the circus, what the heck? Dad said, nope, this one's a pencil neck. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow freak, it's a gritty, scum-sucking, pencil-neck geek. You see, if you take a pencil that won't hold lead, looks like a pipe cleaner attached to a head, add a buggy-whipped body with a brain that leaks, you got yourself a grit-eating, pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek, grit-eating freak, scum-sucking pee-head with a lousy physique. He's a one-man, no-gut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek.
Pencil-neck geek.
Soon the geeks were popping up all over town. You couldn't hardly sneeze without knocking one down. After a nice juicy steak, if you need a toothpick, just reach for a geek. They'll do the trick. One day we cut one up for fish bait. Learned our lesson just a little bit late. Soon as the geek hit the drink, the water turned red. Next day, sure enough, all the fish were dead. Pencil neck geek, gritty freak, scum sucking beehead with a lousy physique. He's a one man, no good losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek.
First of all, I probably should be offended by this because I feel like he's describing me.
Are you a pencil neck geek?
Pencil neck geek and lousy physique. Yeah, absolutely. But that is Fred Blassie, classy Fred Blassie, who was a famous wrestler. And in the mid-70s, well, I guess not famous like Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, stuff like that, but he was a well-known wrestler.
If you
follow
wrestling, you knew him.
Which I didn't really, but he was famous enough that he recorded an album, you know, and that was another thing with novelty songs. Sometimes, you know, you tap into somebody who's famous in another area outside of music.
Right.
And then you have them record something based on what they do. And in this case, he was, you know, a tough guy wrestler. That was his persona. And he had used that catchphrase. That was one of his catchphrases. He would call his opponent a pencil neck geek.
Right.
You know, the idea of putting him down. He was a weakling or whatever. Right. And so then that became a song.
When I heard the term pencil neck geek, I mean, my reaction to it is that it's like I maybe I'm associating it with pencil pusher, but I picture it like you know, like an officious guy at the office who's always sucking up to the boss and is, you know, a nerd and like you said, skinny and no physique. What, you know, but that's kind of when I think of a pencil neck geek, that's what I think of. But I hadn't thought of it in terms of like insulting a wrestling opponent.
Yes, right. And I think there's some overtones to that, right? You know, the idea that just the guy who like you said, who just sort of goes to work and he works in an office and he's not, you know, he doesn't do like real man's
job. He's not a manly man.
Job. Right, exactly. But also, it literally is like trying to describe that he's just got like, he's skinny.
Skinny, right.
You know, right. Looks like a pencil.
Long neck, yeah. Yes. Like an Ichabod Crane or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that was his big put down. He'd call people pencil neck geeks. And so he did the song. But the funny thing is the song isn't really about wrestling.
Yeah.
The song is just about geeks are ruining the world, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's again, it's sort of like playing up the machismo idea, but it's jokey, it's goofy, it's whatever, it's funny. Now, Fred Blassie later became a more famous wrestler because he did some shtick with Andy Kaufman in the 80s, mostly, I think. If I have this correct, I think they first did a movie, like a short film kind of thing called My Breakfast with Blassie, which was a takeoff of My Dinner with Andre. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which My Dinner with Andre was just two people talking at a table. Like that was the movie. And so Andy Kaufman did that with this wrestler, Fred Blassie, in a sort of a short film. And it was sort of a parody of the thing, right? So I think I discovered this song much later because of like the Andy Kaufman stuff and things like that. I read that it was, at the time, it was big on the Dr. Demento show, but I never really listened to that. Did you? No.
I'm familiar with it, but I didn't listen to it regularly, no.
I knew of it.
Right.
But it wasn't really so much on my radar. It wasn't like a thing I really paid much attention to. And so, but I think people who were big listeners of Dr. Demento, like this was one of the songs that was like a big hit song on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Weird Al came up through all Dr. Demento and there are all these different things. And that was a whole, I guess, like weekly syndicated radio show that was based on parody songs, novelty songs, joke songs, all that stuff. Yeah.
Wasn't there a kind of like an Andy Kaufman resurgence? Like what was the name of Man in the Moon or something? A book or a movie something like that movie. That kind of
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, played. That's right.
That was really good.
Yeah. I was going to say, was that maybe where you became aware of it, or had you already gotten on it earlier than that?
I think earlier than that because of just being interested in Andy Kaufman in the 80s, probably mostly through Letterman, maybe a little bit through Saturday Night Live. You know, he was on there a lot too. A couple of little things about the song. So I also like the fact that it's sort of it's almost like a campfire country song, you know, with the whistling and that sort of like lilting sort of bit, you know, music to it. One of the people who plays on the song, and this just freaked me out when I learned this today, guitarist Billy Zoom played on that song. And this is 1975. Billy Zoom, I know from a band a few years later called X, which was a LA punk band, late 70s into the 80s. And he was the guitarist in that band. I had no idea
that he'd done
stuff like this, you know, before then. It's really funny.
So I think we sometimes see our musicians as being right. so pure and, you know, whatever they're famous for, that's what they,
right.
but a lot of these musicians were, you know, they were yeah. trying to make a buck. They were trying to make a living for a decade before they made it bigger more.
Billy, you want to come play guitar on this song?
Exactly.
With a wrestler.
What do they call him? A session musician?
Yeah, sort of, you know, kind of sing talking over the top of it. Sure. Yeah. How much does it pay? I'll be there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Chris. This has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
We'll have to do it again sometime. You know what? When hopefully people listening will want to, you know, submit some of their favorite novelty songs, tell us about some of their favorites and things that they remember and little stories and things like that. And then when we do that, we like to feature them and we can have you come in for that.
That'd be great. I can be your,
and then you can comment on those.
Go to novelty song guy. That'd be awesome.
All right. Very good. All right. Thanks a lot. It is Rock in the Suburbs. You should listen to the show every day. And if you want to comment on novelty songs or wrestling or Andy Kaufman or David Letterman or the Alvin and the Chipmunks or any of that stuff, call 612-440-1984. Leave a message. We'll feature your voice on an upcoming show, as I mentioned, or email rock@suburbspod.com or hit us up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all those @suburbspod. Please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out a lot. Just takes a minute of your time. Again, thanks, Chris.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chris Wadsworth. And with that, we'll talk to you next week.
They say these geeks come a dime a dozen. I'm looking for the guy who's supplying the dimes. It's going to be real hard times for all of these gritty, scum-sucking, boot-licking, drop-kicking, gut-grinding, nail-biting, glue-sniffing, scab-picking, butt-scratching, egg-hatching, sleazy, smelly, pepper-belly, dirty, lousy, rotten, stinking freaks. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek.
Pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek.
Not too shabby, Mr. Blassie. Let's go for one more.
Hey, I'm Blassie.
Right, I realize that. I just thought perhaps we could improve on the
you know something, Engineer? Yeah. I've been wondering about you all afternoon.
Yeah.
Here it is, the middle of summer, and you're sitting there with that thick collar all the way up to your chin.
Yeah, I realize that.
I wonder. Here, let's get a good look at you. I know it. I know it. I know it.
Hey, hey, watch it.
Fred.
Watch it, Fred. That deck holds 10,000 volts.
Let's plug you in and see how you like it.
No.
Come on, geek. Nothing but a pencil neck geek.